my apartment. It's Robin the Podcast, and now here's the guy who's not the Wing Chun Kung Fu expert. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, back here with Nicole Cesternino.
Hello.
Should I have said I am a Wing Chun Kung Fu expert, or that would have been a lie?
Well, we both know you are an expert.
That is true. I Googled it.
Yes, therefore you're an expert.
I very well may be as much of an expert as Philip.
Probably more.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the Philip Show, people.
We've got a lot to say.
Yes.
And it's mostly about Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into it.
How could it not be about Philip?
I feel like we're put in a box now a little bit, because now I feel like it's inappropriate to call Philip crazy.
Well, Francesca on Facebook, she put a post on the Previously on Survivor group saying,
good group.
Dear Philip, you are crazy. Signed, a black woman. Thanks, Francesca. That was amazing.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
She went before her time, that Francesca.
She really did.
She really did. And a lot to get to. We'll talk about all the kookiness. Can we say kookiness? Is that okay?
I don't know. I think that's a little racist as well.
I don't know. There's got to be something we could say.
Should we make up a word? Like, you can't say we're racist. We made the word up.
I guess not, but that probably would happen. So I don't know. We're gonna do our best. We're definitely not as good as Jeff Probst, who was able to walk a tightrope in through a very sensitive issue.
Yeah, he walked that tightrope straight to the other side where the Emmy is sitting.
Ooh, well done, Jeff Probst.
Yes.
So we will try to get through all of that. We are going to be joined by Benry in a little bit.
Yes.
Spoke to Benry just now.
Uh-huh.
He is at the Dodger game.
Yes.
And so when he gets home, he's going to call us.
Yes, okay.
So we are ready. We're going to do this a little different.
It's interesting.
We're going to talk about the episode.
Okay.
And at some point, Benry's going to call us. And then we're just going to put him in and we're going to talk to Benry.
Sounds like a plan.
When he's ready.
Whatever it takes to get her done.
We'll do it, and we'll do it differently. And we got a few more things along the way. We've got your comments.
Yes.
And ready to go.
Yes.
So a lot going on
In
the Rob Has a Podcast world. We went to the reality rally over the weekend.
Oh, yes, we did.
Touched on this a little bit on the Celebrity Apprentice podcast, but we didn't get into it too much.
Right.
But we had a very good time at the reality rally. Saw a lot of survivors there.
A lot of survivors, amazing racers, big brothers.
Well.
Some other people.
Some other people.
Yeah. A dog.
A dog that could surf.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. There's plenty of stuff around on the Facebook if you want to see some pictures from the reality rally.
Yes.
Who was there one person in particular that you met that you were excited about meeting?
That I was excited about meeting?
Yes.
It's hard to get me excited.
Anybody from any of the shows that you ran into that you had an unpleasant experience with?
I wouldn't say it's unpleasant, but what I will say is Rachel Riley is exactly what you would expect.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all you're going to say?
That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying? That's it?
Ha 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 ha!
Okay. For the people who know who that is, that's somebody who was on Big Brother.
Yes.
And somebody who was at the reality rally.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of survivors there.
Yes.
We also did a number of survivor interviews.
Which was really fun.
While we were there, we got to talk with a lot of people that we had on the podcast before.
Right.
We talked with Marty. We talked with Sash.
Eliza.
Todd.
Russell
Swan.
The black Russell.
Yes. The black swan. we talked with, who else? Katie Gallagher.
She's always nice to see.
Yeah. We did talk with Evil Dick.
Yes.
We talked with,
Drawing a blank.
We talked with Erin Lobdell.
Yes, we did. We got to get her on the show.
Yeah. And a few other survivors.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get all those up. Just like we did last time, we were at Pechanga. We had the videos of those. So we'll post the YouTube videos and then eventually we'll post the audio.
Yes. There was definitely alcohol flowing. So they were letting loose a bit. We got some good interviews.
Yes. Letting loose a bit.
Yes.
Speaking of letting loose.
Yes.
We've been talking for a couple of weeks now about the live tweeters on the show.
Yes.
How many live tweeters are we up to? There's about 10 to 12 people
like
who are live tweeting the podcast.
There's only a few that are really active, though.
Only a few really have the dedication to stick with it.
Yes.
But it's rather complicated to follow all of the live tweeters, and sometimes you didn't listen to the podcast yet, and then they're flooding your feed with spoilers, for all intents and purposes.
Podcast spoilers. Yes.
So what I've gone ahead and done is I've posted on the right-hand side of Rob Has a Website, down on the sidebar, there is a widget for the Rob Has a Podcast live tweeters.
Uh-huh.
So at any point, you could see what the live tweeters are saying about the show.
Okay, but for all of us non-dorks, what is a widget?
A widget is something on a website that is like a thing that shows.
Oh.
A widget is a widget.
Oh, to me, that sounded like like a different language, like what Philip was talking about.
It's an embedded HTML object.
Does
that make more sense?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, so it shows what the Twitter feed is of the people on the list of the live tweeters.
Or they could also just follow the list that you created on your Twitter.
Yes, that too. But this is easy as well.
Okay.
There's also a list on Twitter that has all the live tweeters.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we got into the show? I can't forget and find the piece of paper I wrote on.
You're so unorganized.
All right. Well, you know what? You show up here 3 seconds before we're about to start.
We're ready to go now.
Sit here and this was a terrible job. You're so unorganized.
Really? That's what happened?
Something like that.
Oh, that's not.
Okay. Anyway, let's get into it.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. So Survivor last night, and it really was predominantly all about Philip.
It was the Philip show.
There was a lot of Philip, and really, most like this season has been, not a lot of strategy talk, which is unfortunate.
But there's been no strategy talk at all, really.
It's almost like strategically, everybody's bed is made.
Yes.
And up until we get down to there's only 6 people left, and we still got to get through getting rid of Ralph, and we still got to get rid of Steve.
Uh-huh.
But until that happens,
it's coming, though.
It's just going to be all Philip.
And the last episode is going to be 8 people.
Eight people on the last episode. Let's look at our calendar here. What was yesday? Yesterday was 420.
420.
How can I forget?
I don't remember it.
So next week will be 427. We'll get rid of somebody. And how many people are left?
So there's
10 people left in the tribe, is it? No, there's
I'm
6.
Not sure.
6 and 2. So there's 8 people left on the tribe. 3 people left on Redemption Island.
Uh-huh.
David's on the jury.
Okay, so we have 11 people.
So next week we'll get it down to 7 people in the tribe.
3 people still.
Then the following Wednesday, we will get it down to
9.
7 people in the tribe.
I meant in total.
Okay. Well, this is going to be just very confusing. And
bottom line, 8
for
people.
For all intents and purposes, you being the person to figure this out with is not the best way to go.
Are you saying that I'm bad at math?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, that is correct.
You know, maybe get me Fish back over here. Let's get Marty back on the phone.
Or even get David back. We had him this morning.
You get David back.
I bet he knows what's going on.
Let's wait for Benry to call in.
But he's not going to know.
Just saying. So basically, we're going to get down to 5 people left in the game.
3
people left on Redemption Island. Now, I think we can speculate a little bit here that the person who's going to come back from Redemption Island is going to come back when there's 5 people left in the game.
The final 5.
And then there'll be a final 6 again in the final show?
That's kind of crazy for them to come back at that point in the game.
Now, selfishly, here's what I don't like about this.
Okay.
So
regale me with a story.
I'll regale you with a story. So at the end of Survivor Nicaragua, the Survivor Nicaragua finale came on. There were 5 people.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, we had to talk to Sash and Chase on the phone at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And Dan and
Holly
at the same time.
Yes, and Dan wanted to quit.
And Dan wanted to quit. And Holly was at the reality rally, and she was lovely.
She's a MILF.
Whoa.
She is.
Some people look better on the island. Some people look better in real life. Holly
is beautiful.
Holly looks better on the island. What do I look better on? Am I look better on the island or in real life?
You just look great when I look at you.
No, I want to know.
You look like a totally different person on the island.
Well, which is better?
Rob C. Now.
Me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
You were a little boy. I'm sorry. I know you don't like when I call you boy.
It's offensive. How dare you? And it's Cowboy.
Yeah, and now you're a command.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting to know.
Yeah.
Who is the best of all time, Better on the Island? Have we talked about this before?
I think
always go back to
Amanda
Kimmel.
Yeah. Amanda does look better on the island.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen her in a while.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so how do we get... Oh, the exit interviews
after
the end of the show. I think this is going to be a real cluster F with eight people.
Yeah. How, are we going to do, you know, two at a time? Or are we going
to
do
four at a time?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I don't know how exactly that's going to go.
Yeah, they better at least double our time. Give us a half hour.
I don't know if you're in a position to be making demands, Nicole.
I can. You know that I can.
I know you can. I don't know how that's going to exactly go down.
I just turn into Philip. I turn into a crazy person. And they're like, all right, fine. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. Luckily, let's just hope that however they do it, we end up with maybe one call with Boston Rob. And then one call that has Grant, Ashley, Andrea, Natalie, Steve, and Ralph on one call.
Uh-huh.
And then another call with Philip.
Okay.
Let's do it that way.
Yes, definitely. That sounds like the way to go.
If anybody's listening, that's how we'd like to see that sort of broken down.
Yeah, I want Grant to give me some free yoga lessons.
Why do you keep saying this?
Because he lives not too far from here.
Okay, but why Grant?
Because he's a yoga instructor.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that would give you a yoga lesson, including that you have about 10 Groupons of, you have like 500 yoga sessions.
I've set for
life.
We
talked to Parvati last week.
She's
like,
boxing.
She's like, oh yeah, come to ESP Wellness. All of a sudden you're not like, oh, Parvati, I want Parvati to give me a free yoga lesson. That's not happening. Why, Grant? Why do you keep saying this? And this is literally, this is like the third time Nicole has said this to me.
Today.
Why do you keep saying this?
He seems like he'd be a good teacher.
You have a thing for Grant?
Maybe.
Because I think this seems very inappropriate.
Why because is this inappropriate?
If I was walking around the house and said to you, now let's
put, you say far worse.
Put the age difference aside. If I said like, oh, I want Natalie, who
if you want a lesson from Natalie, you just have to watch Jillian Michaels
okay.
Shred It With Weights.
You got it. Let's see. Oh, there's a text message. text message from Benry. Send me a link to the podcast. I can tweet. Okay, but I don't know if he knows that it's not live. So, and I did send him a link to it in the last one. So, all right, we'll just wait on that.
Well, we'll send it to you after the podcast.
Wait on that, Benry. Just get home from the Dodger game.
Yeah, don't tweet and drive.
Yeah, the Dodgers got taken over by Major League Baseball. They're all of our teams. We need to go out and support the Dodgers.
No one cares.
Yeah, they're our team.
Yes.
They're America's team.
Oh, those Dodger fans, they're hardcore. I wore a Mets.
They're killing people.
I wore a Mets t-shirt, and I thought I was going to get shanked.
That's not why.
That's not why?
That's not why.
No, I know. Again, they killed somebody.
No. If you don't want to go to a baseball game in a or any sporting event in a hostile environment with Nicole, because when the hooligans are yelling things like, your team sucks, they suck, Nicole stands up like, you know what, you suck, don't talk about my team that way.
And then they were getting the players wrong.
Then they're staring me down. Then they want to kill, now I'm the next person they want to kill.
And Rob's ducking in his seat.
Yeah. And Nicole's, like, tweeting.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to listen to this.
Okay. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. I'm Philip. I'm crazy.
Okay. And enough with the Grant. You want to go for yoga with Grant.
Okay. Grant, call me.
Is that necessary, really? What an uproar there would be from you if this was the other way around.
No, you are so much worse. So stop it. You are so much worse. You just don't say it on the podcast.
Okay. Well, there's a good start for you. Learn from my example.
Okay.
Anyway, so how did we even get on? Oh, we're talking about that there's going to be so many people left on Redemption Island. Do you like the idea of doing the Redemption Island with three people? It seems weird to do it this way. I thought they were going to do it this way and kick two people off Redemption Island. I was surprised.
Yeah.
This seems like Jeff said to me, you don't have to come in first. You just don't want to be last. And I was like, oh, wait, are they not kicking two people off right now?
I thought that was just the first part, and then there was going to be a second part.
They did not really set that up well.
No. I don't know if I like Redemption Island at this point. Like, is it fair for somebody to come in at the final five?
What if it's Elrod? He's been there the whole time.
I'm kind of losing love for Elrod.
Why? Because he's getting a little whiny?
He's getting a little whiny. I mean, I know Redemption Island sucks, and he's had it the worst.
He's had probably the most unique Survivor experience out of anybody.
Who
go on Survivor, they go through it for 39 days.
They bond with people. And that's the best part, right? For the most part.
I don't know if it's the best part. It's okay.
Okay.
It depends who the people are.
It's true.
But for Matt, he was in the game for 6 days.
Uh-huh.
Then he goes to Redemption Island for about 14 days.
Uh-huh.
Then he gets out for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes right back. And if he makes it till the end, like, he will have been in the game for about 10 days and be on Redemption Island for about 29 days.
And at this point, if he does get to the final
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, sure it is. Like, if he gets to the final three and wins, he has to win. He lasted Redemption Island that entire time. He has to win.
All right, let's play out this hypothetical scenario. Uh-huh. I've said that I thought that Andrea is in the best spot to win. But how about, let's play out this hypothetical scenario.
Okay.
So the final five is Boston Rob, the three girls, Philip, and now Matt comes back into the game.
Uh-huh.
And they try to vote out Matt out of the game.
But he wins immunity.
But Matt wins the last two immunities.
Obviously.
And then it comes down to the final three is Boston Rob, Philip, and Matt.
Uh-huh.
Who wins? Boston Rob, Philip, and Matt. Let's go.
Well, you know, all of Zapatera is going to vote for Matt. They're all going to, except maybe David.
I guess so. Yeah, David seemed, especially talking to him, David seems to have respect for Boston Rob. I would not be surprised to see David cast a lone vote, be sort of like the John Fincher in Samoa, cast his vote for Boston Rob as his whole tribe goes the other way.
Right.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes the other Zapatera, so Ralph, Julie, Steve, and Mike, they all vote for Matt.
Right.
So, David votes for Boston Rob.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Yes.
Then maybe Ashley and Natalie vote for...
But are they scorned because they're not in the final three?
Yeah, but they vote for Boston Rob.
Okay, they're not scorned.
But it wasn't Rob's fault. He could have wanted to bring them. He could have wanted to bring them, but Matt kept winning immunity.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay, but they kept Philip instead of the girls.
That's true. But let's say in the scenario they don't hold it against
him.
In our Survivor world. Grant, maybe he's pissed. He votes for Matt. And I can see Andrea voting for Matt. And all of a sudden, 6-3, Boston Rob gets 3 votes. Philip gets none. Matt gets 6. Matt, you're winner of Redemption Island. How about that?
Fitting, since he spent the most time there.
And that was God's plan all along.
That's what God wanted. God is watching.
We're going to find out one way or the other exactly how much God has to do with this.
How much God watches Survivor?
How much God is caring about this? Because we're going to find out. We're going to get our answer.
I think we're already... He is watching.
I don't know.
He's got one eye on the island.
One eye on the island. And we're going to find out if... We know that Jeff Probst thinks Boston Rob is the greatest of all time. We're going to find out if God thinks Boston Rob is the best of all time.
So far, he doesn't.
Well, so far, it's looking okay for him. But if he could just get this Elrod guy out of the way, we're going to find out exactly how much of a Boston Rob fan God is.
Yeah. Maybe God doesn't like Boston.
I don't know. You haven't been paying attention to sports much in the last 10 years, have you?
That's true.
Yeah. He seems to really
like them. Forget it. Boston Rob is winning.
Anyway, so we'll find out about that.
Yes.
So, you want to get into Philip a little bit? I mean, there's a lot of Philip stuff to get to. So let's take it in order.
Okay.
Okay, so Philip starts off, we get some Philip meditation.
Yes, we did. And he's speaking a language that only he can understand.
Yes, and Philip is Buddhist?
Apparently.
Who knew?
Who knew, yeah.
He's so worldly, Philip.
He's a lot of things. I don't know if worldly is one of them.
Well, say what you want, Nicole. He's pretty worldly. Then he even comes around to say that Boston Rob is now in the full circle of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that a Meet the Parents reference?
I think so.
Yeah. And then we get into the rice.
Ricegate
Ricegate part one.
Uh-huh.
So Ricegate starts off with apparently Zapatera, they have been just eating so much rice,
yes.
Whereas Ometepe, they are running out of rice.
They're getting 2 spoonfuls a day.
Only 2 spoonfuls a day. Now, you would think Ometepe would have quite a bit of rice, since Boston Rob is not even eating that much rice.
Yes.
He just wants what's burnt to the side of the pan.
He spit on me again.
It's worth it. So, we have that scenario going on.
Right.
Now, that's the upside.
Rice wars! Rice wars!
What is the...
The song they sang.
Oh. So, with all of this going on, this is very interesting to me, because I think this is the first season of Survivor where there has been no merge. Yes, they live
technically
in...
there is a merge.
Yes.
But there's not.
But they live together, but they are not... they are separate tribes, 2 tribes living in 1 place.
Yes, you made a good analogy earlier on the David podcast that it's like the divorce, but the man's still living there.
It's like us in 10 years.
Probably 5.
They have separate checking accounts.
Yes.
They have separate beds.
Yes. Which actually, separate, that is like us.
Separate phone lines. All of this. Separate food in the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
It's like having a roommate that you don't really care for.
Yes.
And that's exactly...
Like us.
It's pretty much exactly this, except we have a podcast that
yes,
we do together.
That we come together on.
That we come together on. And they don't even have that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy, though, that they don't even sleep in under the same shelter. They don't even sleep under the same roof.
Yeah, it's like Ometepe. I'm sounding like Philip now. I can't even pronounce it. They have, you know, their elevated shelter with the tarp. And then Zapatera is like, it's like kind of below them with fronds.
Yes. That was good Survivor architecture. Well done.
Painting the picture.
Yeah. I mean, it's unthinkable to me to think, like, when I was on Survivor that we would say, okay, we're merged. You guys do what you have to do over there. Now, we had a tribal switch.
Right.
This would never happen if they switched up the tribes halfway through on like day 12 or whatever.
On this season.
On this season. Uh-huh. That would never happen. But they didn't. And it's like everybody's just going along with this.
They're going along with what Rob tells them. You're not allowed to talk to them. You have to hold hands with somebody when you walk over there. Sorry, I'm stamped with the pen.
Yeah, you're really flailing that pen around. Very loosey-goosey with the ballpoint pen very close to my face.
Yeah. It was worth it.
I don't know. Not sure about that.
Okay, so anyway.
Anyway, so now this decision to be separate has really come back to bite Ometepe in the buttocks.
In the booty.
Yes, because there's something
the
wrong.
Buttocks.
There's something wrong with the Ometepe rice.
Yes.
The rice has gone bad.
And it gets like that from getting wet.
Getting wet. Now, this actually happened on Survivor of the Amazon.
Yeah.
We didn't have rice. We had something else called manioc.
That's
but
disgusting stuff.
Not as good as rice. Would have rather had the rice.
Why didn't you get rice? And why did you get manioc?
Because that was the more native food starch or whatever.
Yeah, that sucks for you guys.
Yeah, because I had rice on the All-Stars, and rice is better. Rice is better than manioc.
Yes, and you didn't have to share with Boston Rob.
I didn't have to share it with the Boston Rob. Well, on the All-Stars, I did.
Well, if he ate it.
If he ate it. But he only wanted the crispy rice.
Yeah.
So, with all of this rice that's being eaten, apparently they did not properly... They said there's a crack in the thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you did not properly close it... When I went on Survivor of the Amazon, we were divided by men and women. And the women's tribe, ironically, did not do a good enough job keeping the rice safe and dry.
Uh-huh.
There was actually a giant spider in it also. They had like a tarantula in
that
their
rice. That bit
Heidi. No, that was a different one.
That was a different tarantula.
That was a different one. But ideally, you would want to give this... some Tupperware would be a good reward challenge for the survivors.
Ooh, yeah.
That would be good.
We would have a Tupperware party.
That would really be ideal. That would be a good luxury item for somebody. Some Tupperware.
Uh-huh.
Keep it safe.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe one of those things that where it's like the bag, the shrink wrap thing. That would also be good.
Don't you need like a gun for that? That's like...
Yep. So either of those things would be pretty good.
Yeah, good sound effect, right?
Pretty good. So, this is going on. Uh-huh. And now, Philip, I have to call Philip out a little bit. A little bit.
Yes.
Because Philip is a bit hypocritical.
He's a lot hypocritical in a lot of different ways.
Yes. He's stealing the Zapatera rice.
He stole quite a bit, too.
Stealing the rice.
Yeah.
Now, this is on the heels of last season, Nayanka stealing the food.
And burying it.
And burying it.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of food stealing going on Survivor.
Uh-huh.
Survivor has really gone pretty crazy because we have all this food stealing. Now, food stealing, I guess, has been going on since the beginning, back when Clarence was stealing the beans.
Uh-huh.
And back when Kel was sneaking in beef jerky. So uh-huh. The food stealing has been happening.
Who is Kel?
Ugh.
I just don't remember.
Who are you? Who are you is a better question.
Okay.
That you don't know Kel Gleason. Anyway.
I think I'm friends with him on Facebook.
No, you're not. He's not on Facebook.
Stop yelling at me. You're such a jerk.
Not a jerk. I think that everybody listening to this podcast is having the same reaction at you right now.
Sure they are.
Okay. Maybe they're not. Read the comments, okay? Read the comments.
All right, can we talk about Survivor?
We are talking about Survivor. You just don't know it.
Okay.
Anyway, so the food stealing is going on, but just the general stealing and sabotaginess of Survivor
mm-hmm.
is only getting worse. And we're living in a post-Russell Hance world.
We're getting less classy, people.
I don't know. I know Sandra threw the fish out on the Pearl Islands.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's probably been some other sabotage along the way.
But I feel like when Sandra does it, it's okay.
But, like, we've almost reached a point that I felt like it was a weird moment last night when at Tribal Council. What's the problem, Nicole?
You spit on me again.
It wasn't that bad.
It was still spit.
And it was still worth it. Do we have to stop the show every time this happens?
No, I didn't even say anything. You did.
Okay. Well, you're making a horrible face.
Continue.
So, the sabotaginess.
Uh-huh.
So, basically, we have at Tribal Council last night, the question comes up, who stole Philip's shorts? Did somebody take Philip's shorts? And Julie raises her hand. I took them.
At the end.
At the end. And everybody's like, ha, 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 ha.
Yes.
Like, I feel like if this was 15 seasons ago,
uh-huh.
I feel like they would say, Julie, you're allowed to take Philip's shorts and bury them in the woods. That's not allowed.
You're probably right.
I think this is, the game changed somewhere along the way.
Yes.
I don't think you were allowed to do that. Now, maybe it's because nobody thought of doing that, but
there's a different code of ethics back
then. There was a different code of ethics, and I feel like maybe if you did something in private, let's say I hid Heidi's bikini one day.
Uh-huh, I'm sure you thought of.
Or maybe I hid the rest of her clothes, so she would only have to be in the bikini. Yeah, I pulled a Julie.
Yes.
I'm going to take all of Heidi's clothes, and I'm going to bury them, and then she has to walk around in a bikini.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I could probably get away with that, even if production saw and it was on camera, as long as I kept it a secret.
Uh-huh.
But at the point where I'm saying, yeah, I hid Heidi's clothes, I feel like they're going to say to me, Rob, go get Heidi's clothes. You're not allowed to go bury her clothes in the wood or burn her sneakers in the fire
uh-huh.
or throw her sneakers in the pond
uh-huh.
or bury her
her alligator shorts. Shoes.
Yeah. Like, we've definitely crossed the line somewhere along the way where this is part of the game now.
Is it the Russell Hance? Is that where it started? Like, the stealing?
I don't know. But I know when I go to LA Fitness, I bring a combination lock with me, and I gotta put my stuff away. And there's signs everywhere that people are gonna take my stuff. Now, I don't know if they're gonna throw it in the fire or what they're gonna do with it.
Right.
But it's like, if you go on Survivor, it's almost like you need a locker. Can I get a locker as my
uh-huh.
as my luxury item?
So if we're stealing now, is it okay to steal the hidden immunity idol?
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Now, am I allowed to sabotage somebody by, instead of hiding their shorts, could I
just hide their whole
take
bag?
The hidden immunity idol from their possession
uh-huh.
and hide it on them? Explain to me why I can't do that. We've had this debate with Steven before.
Right.
Steven says, absolutely not. You're not allowed to do that. Well, why am I allowed to take somebody's shoes and throw them in the fire? Why am I allowed to take somebody's shorts and hide them, but I'm not allowed to take this one thing?
Uh-huh.
Now, I understand a little bit more the immunity necklace. Uh-huh. I can't, when somebody gets back to camp, I can't rip the immunity necklace off somebody and say, oh, no, look who has immunity now. It's right. Not like Lord of the Rings.
It's a little different.
It's not like, there's one necklace, whoever holds it has the immunity and you can wrestle for it.
Right.
I get that. There's like competition. It's awarded to somebody. But the idol is hidden.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
But I guess that kind of goes back to where, like, when Amanda and Danielle were wrestling over it.
The clue. They're wrestling over the clue.
It was the clue. It wasn't even the idol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just distracted by boobs.
Oh, my. Welcome to my world. So, unfortunately, the maggots in the rice, and ideally, you don't want that.
That's disgusting.
That's no good.
I can't imagine Boston Rob eating the rice after that.
Well, if you thought Boston Rob didn't want to eat the rice beforehand.
The little princess isn't eating it now.
I ain't eating no maggots. but they're so crispy. They come out great.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have this going on. Now, do you think that Steve should have let Philip take their rice and put it back into their container?
Well, did Steve even know that Philip stole the rice?
No. Well, what I mean is the non-maggot rice.
Oh, I see.
Steve have let them put it into their container?
Absolutely not. I mean, they're sleeping in the rain. They're getting treated like crap. And now all of a sudden they want something from them?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, it seems like... And then you know...
Yes.
That basically it's like they have two... I was going to make the bank account analogy. I feel like we've already been there.
Yes.
Anyway, they have six mouths to feed.
Yeah.
Once they put their little, 5 ounces of rice in your container,
uh-huh.
They're going to be in that container every 5 seconds.
Right.
Making rice.
Mm-hmm.
Making crispy rice, making regular rice.
But not maggot rice.
Not maggot rice. Now, what did they end up doing with the old rice?
I guess they never showed.
Did they put it back in the container?
I don't know. Last we saw, it was on the blanket.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's a cliffhanger.
Yes.
We don't know what happened with the rice.
Yeah. But then you have Philip going completely off. Completely off the handle.
Okay, now Philip is pretty worked up.
Yes. And his argument was he had no argument.
Well, he says that to Steve, that Steve says he's crazy. And that really upsets him.
Yes.
Now, do you think that Philip was being crazy?
Yes. And I don't mean that in a racist way. I mean it in a crazy way.
Well, he was saying that he's going to kill Steve, correct?
And he was going to kung fu chung him.
Yeah.
He was threatening him.
So, okay, we could dissect how crazy Philip's behavior was.
Uh-huh.
But I think, to me, a little more interesting is the fact we now have an answer to the question of
yes.
whether or not Philip is playing the game with strategy.
We go back and forth, but now we know.
Yeah, because we talked about it last week a little bit, of maybe could Philip possibly be playing the game with some strategy.
Right.
And the strategy was to get Boston Rob to bring him to the end. Now, unless you're trying to tell me that Philip is just...
A really good actor.
He's going all in for that $100,000.
Uh-huh.
He is no longer playing with any sort of strategy.
No.
I mean, the idea of strategy is doing what will get you the furthest in the game.
Right.
And, you know, taking the course of action to ultimately give you the best chance to win.
Right.
I guess that's the simplest definition of strategy.
Yeah.
And you cannot say that Philip is doing anything that is helping his long-term chance to win the game.
Right.
He's only hurting that. And over what? Over a handful of rice. Forget the rice, Philip. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he has totally alienated himself from, you know, a group of people that in a couple of weeks might be helpful in a number of ways. One, they're going to be on the jury.
Right.
And two, you know, when it gets down to 7 people, that's a good time to switch it up.
He lost that chance.
You lost that chance.
Yes. But in fairness to Philip, if I haven't eaten and I'm asking you to make me dinner and you don't, I do sometimes turn into that.
Yes. And you also do not like being called crazy.
I don't.
Much like Philip.
Oh my God, I'm Philip.
You could be a little Philippy.
Philippish.
Philippish.
Uh-huh.
So this becomes a whole big thing, and Philip says, this isn't the NFL. There are no rules here. I could kill you. And now I say to myself, I'm pretty sure there are rules on
There's
Survivor.
There's a big thing that you have to sign with rules.
And I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to kill somebody
I think
on Survivor.
Rule number one?
I think you're not, rule number one, you're not allowed to kill somebody. And so I think that, I think Philip might be a little off on this one.
Slightly.
Slightly off.
Uh-huh.
So then we have the immunity challenge.
Yes.
And so what did you think of this immunity challenge? A little puzzly?
A little strange. I don't know why they had to go around and around, or like their bodies had to go around
yeah,
and around.
Yeah, could you just have spun the thing around like the steering wheel on a bus?
Yeah, just like shake it and then it goes by itself. Like,
I guess maybe you had to spin around.
Yeah, maybe.
And then there was a big problem with people almost breaking the puzzle last night. And Jeff Probst even had to say to Buzz Rob, "Easy, brother! Easy, brother!
Don't hurt your hand!
Don't hurt your hand on that stupid puzzle!" Do you think that there was a chance, possibility, that Steve may have actually beaten Boston Rob in the puzzle?
Let's not speculate cheating.
I'm not speculating cheating.
Or favoritism.
But do you think that Jeff may have been in a better position to see Boston Rob's puzzle than he was to see Steve's puzzle?
Did Boston Rob actually say, "I got it," or was Jeff right there?
It's also hard to see because you didn't see one camera shot of like
right.
The
you saw two different
the overhead.
Shots.
You saw Rob say, "I got it," and then Steve say, "I got it."
Yeah.
Right after.
Uh-huh.
And it was different shots, so you don't really know.
Well, according to the live tweet session by Jeff,
yes.
He said that Steve barely got it, and it was just by seconds.
Steve barely lost.
Yeah, and it was by seconds.
Boston Rob, he's almost there. He's so close.
He's so good.
He's just almost. And Steve's like, "I got. Hey, what are we?" He's like, "Boston Rob is so close. Steve, shut up. Can't hear Boston Rob talk over Steve."
I think that's actually what happens.
Is that what how it works?
Oh, yes.
Down?
Steve, you're distracting me.
Steve, very distracting.
Shut the F up.
No, I'm sure that Boston, that I have a feeling that Steve would have been carrying on a bit more had that actually been the case. But it was a very close finish.
It was very close.
Very close finish. And so now, is this when Julie decides to bury the shorts?
Shortly thereafter.
Yes. Is that, no pun intended?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, what is Julie's end game here? Does she want Philip in the pink underwear forever and ever?
She's really punishing the rest of us.
Yeah.
And you know what? The more weight that Philip loses by, you know, give the man some rice. Because he needs to not lose weight because his goods are going to come out.
Yeah.
His goods are, like, so close to coming out.
I will not press this any further.
Give the man some rice.
Yes. So... Now, this is almost like a good strategy, though, to hide Philip's clothes.
Okay.
Because now Philip is totally flying off the handle. And
yes.
Now they're starting to consider maybe they should get rid of Philip.
Yes. Are they?
It seemed like it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it looks like Ashley would love to do it.
Ashley
if,
will do
if
it in a
Boston
second.
If Boston Rob ever gave her the okay of, okay, let's vote out Philip.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ashley would be doing handstands.
A handstands?
A handstand.
It sounded like handstands.
A handstand? How does a handstand go?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it would probably also be celebratory.
Yes, it probably something with an immunity idol.
This is the greatest dance of all time. Yeah.
That's the handstands.
It's been too long since Russell's on the show. I feel like my impression of him has wandered.
A little bit. It's you still got it.
I feel like Julie hit it on me. I have to go dig it up.
Yeah, let's go dig it up.
I will have to say, in fairness to Russell,
uh-huh.
Okay, way back when,
uh-huh.
Back in the episode where Russell got voted out,
uh-huh.
He took, you know, Julie aside and said, "It's going to be me, you, Stephanie, Krista, and we're going to go to the Final Four." And I don't know, couldn't have worked out worse.
Well, she made the jury.
They made the jury.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like Zapatera, at least with Russell, you would have to think, I mean, Russell's been in this situation before with glue and Foa Foa, that at least he would have had a better chance, even down in the numbers, to possibly come up with something to break up this Ometepe.
Yeah,
they
were
dead in the water.
It's hard to even say, but you know what? With all with
couldn't have been worse. Couldn't have been
worse. With Rob, with Philip, is there even room for Russell?
I do think that Boston, that Philip with Russell, I think Philip's head would have been spinning. Russell would have been in Philip's ear.
Oh yeah.
I think if any that I definitely think that Russell could have gotten something going had Philip been around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem with Russell going forward, while he has skills, he will no one will ever be able to trust him enough to be able to for him to get to this point ever again.
You know, he really did dig his own grave because he did not change anything. He got his two-girl alliance. He was being, you know, getting people's heads, trying to mess with them.
Here's the scenario for Russell if he's ever going to fare well on Survivor ever again.
Uh-huh.
He goes on Survivor, he gets voted off early, and he pulls an Elrod, and he comes back around the merge, like where he can sort of shake things up, or even like later in the game. Like if Russell went to Redemption Island in this season and then came back at the time that Matt came into the game, I don't think Russell's the first person to get voted out of the game.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he would be.
Right.
I think he would have been able to like get something going, get Philip on his side. He would have maybe the girls are there. Who knows?
Who knows? But I'm glad with the outcome right now.
Well, I'm just saying it would have been a more strategically satisfying show.
I do agree with you with that. Absolutely.
You know,
instead of bang, 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 you're out.
Thank God.
Uh-huh.
Thank God Philip is Philip.
Yes.
Because imagine this show without Philip.
Thank you, Lynn Spielman.
Thank you for going roller skating.
Yes.
And finding Philip.
Yes.
Because this show, this would be a tough show to watch without Philip.
It would be pretty horrible, I think.
Yeah. So thank goodness for Philip.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be a black hole if without Philip.
Oh, was that racist?
No. It's that's astrological.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
That's a scientific term.
Just clarifying.
Just clarify away.
Yes.
So, are we ready to talk about the tribal council?
I think so.
So we have this tribal council. And now Jeff Probst, I have to say, this might have been his finest hour.
Jeff Probst was pretty amazing on this tribal council.
He was a regular Dr. Phil. And speaking of Dr. Phil.
Yes.
One of our good friends.
Our dear friend.
Johnny Fairplay and Mrs. Fairplay.
Mrs. Fairplay.
Michelle Dighton.
Uh-huh.
Who, spoiler alert,
mm-hmm.
Was the most recent person to leave WWE Tough Enough this week.
Yes, because of the most powerful three-year-old on the planet?
Yes, they're a three-year-old daughter that Johnny Fairplay quit on Fans versus I'm sorry, Johnny Fairplay was
voted out.
Voted out.
Willingly.
Uh-huh. A big motivation of that was, one, being powerbombed by Danny Bonaducci.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they could talk about that on Survivor.
Probably not.
And so a big part of that was the impending birth of his daughter, Piper.
Piper was cooking in the oven.
Cooking in the oven. I'm pretty sure she wasn't born yet.
No, I think Michelle was still pregnant.
Yeah. And then Michelle left on Tough Enough.
Uh-huh.
Because of the needs of three-year-old Piper.
Yes.
Tough to wrestle with a three-year-old.
Tough to be away from your three-year-old knowing that she's alone with Johnny Fairplay.
Hey, that's uncalled for.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. So maybe we may do we're still looking to recap the Saddle Ranch podcast, or do a Saddle Ranch podcast with Johnny Fairplay.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to talk to Johnny Fairplay a little bit about that.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
Well, he doesn't want to do interviews.
Okay, that's fine. I think he doesn't want to do interviews for Michelle.
Oh, okay.
I think we can interview him at any point.
Oh, I gotcha.
You got that?
Gotcha.
So Jeff Probst is a regular Dr. Phil now.
I think he's better than Dr. Phil.
He could be.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Producers are telling us Benry's on the line.
All right, let's see. Let's go ahead. Hello, is Benry here, baby?
Benry, baby.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. We're talking about the Survivor. We're covering it. We've covered all of the Philip stuff, all of the craziness. We're about to jump into talking about the Tribal Council. But how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Just watched the Dodgers go kick some butt. And even though I'm not the biggest Dodger fan, but, you know, got back, was able to tune into last night's episode, so I'm ready to rock.
All right, okay. Let's do it.
Well, Benry, let's set this up a little bit. Now, you have been all over the world recently spreading the word of Survivor, much like Philip is very worldly. You have been not just to Temecula, California, twice in the past couple of weeks. You were in Singapore, is that right?
Singapore, yeah. We were in Singapore for a couple of days, and then we went over to Diego Garcia, which is a the British actually own the island, but the U.S. military runs it. So we were able to go out, and, you know, we were out there for a little over a week hanging out with the troops, and you know, we went with Johnny Fairplay, the infamous, big
yes.
Earl Cole, Aaron Lobdell, myself, and, you know, a few people from American Idol, and So You Think You Can Dance. So we were quite the package over there entertaining them, and, you know, it meant a lot to them, and we were able to go do Survivor challenges, and we had, you know, the troops sign up, and there's two different tribes, and, you know, at the end of the trip, we had a sole survivor. You know, but these guys came out and competed with us and, you know, partook in these challenges, and it was really cool to, you know, make them happy and see them smile and, sort of have some fun with them. So not only did, you know, we do Survivor related stuff and they learned about our game and whatnot, but we learned a lot about what our military does and what they do for us and how awesome it is. So it was fun. It was cool.
Now, oh, that sounds amazing.
But you guys are making the troops fight with each other?
Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing. Like in the U.S. military, you know, cheating is highly frowned upon. And being on a team with Johnny Fairplay,
yeah,
I feel like cheating is inevitable. So our first challenge, we all came out and you know, we divided up into two tribes and we had our neon green buff and the challenge was to, you know, get our team relayed to one section and then put up a tent and then take a picture with the team, with the tribe flag in front of the posted tent. And then you had to disassemble the tent. So during us building the tent, Fairplay runs over and grabs their tribe flag without any of them seeing because they were all, you know, building their tent and he ran into the woods and hit it. You know, and we still lost the challenge, long story short. So it was... It was funny, but they all looked at him. They were like, "Dude, is this kid really cheating?" And you know, the next four or five challenges, cheating incurred as well. So it was fun to say the least.
Is there a acting Jeff Probst in the U.S. military, or is that classified?
What's that?
Is there an acting Jeff Probst in the U.S. military?
There was, and this guy, he was a Filipino, actually Filipino Probst.
Ooh.
And it was pretty hilarious, but he was actually not bad at his job.
Was he a like almost like Colby on Top Shot? Is he sort of like a Jeff Probst ringer? Does he use all the same mannerisms?
You know, pretending like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, Colby apparently is also live tweeting during Top Shot.
Colby live tweets during Top Shot.
He's really ripping off Jeff.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Uh-oh is right. Well, Benry, there's been a lot of commotion on this last episode of Survivor, and I guess what I wanted to ask you is, I guess we had this whole thing going on with the rice last night, where Philip, first he was stealing the rice, mm-hmm. and then he wanted to put the rice without the maggots from one team in the other tribe's thing, and they had like a whole big blow-up. And I guess the closest that I could ask you about was dealing with Nyanka
right.
and some of the antics that went on with her during your season, particularly with stealing the food.
Yeah.
And what is that like when somebody is acting out in a way where you're saying, there is no way that this person is playing the game with any sort of strategy at this point
right.
and is sort of just carrying on.
Being a toddler.
Yeah.
And that was the most frustrating part is like, you know, her actions, there was no point in, you know, no strategic gameplay whatsoever, no strategy at all involved in that decision to steal the food. So it was kind of just like, you know, what are you doing? But obviously, you know, food is the most important thing that we had out there. And, you know, for her to have no, you know, motive behind doing that was pretty stupid.
Did anybody ever call Nyanka crazy during your season? And then how did she react to that?
You know, she was definitely called out a couple times in Tribal, and it was, you know, usually Fabio, the one calling her out. Everybody else sort of just talked behind her back, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, talked about her behind her back for sure. But she was a hard person to confront. You were better off just, you know what kind of reaction you were about to get if you were to say anything. So I think, you know, for the most part, everybody actually kept their mouth shut, and, you know, in front of her. Dan actually said something pretty funny, you know, which wasn't aired, and he said something, you know, if you were blah, 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 back in New York and back when I was growing up, I'd track down your whole family and you'd be killed for this, like something hilarious.
Whoa, that's not funny at all.
Yeah, no, she didn't find that funny, and I think her and Dan had some words, but for the most part, everybody, you know, sort of kept their feelings about her to themselves.
You know, what is your take on Boston Rob so far as somebody in this game? Is it frustrating for you as somebody who just went through the game to watch people just sort of be pawns in what ultimately appears to be Boston Rob's game?
It is frustrating to watch, but, you know, it's an awesome game, and it's fun to watch. I guess it doesn't make for the greatest, you know, television, but I think it's
viewing pleasure.
I think it's, you know, an outstanding move, and he's just got so much control, and I really, you know, admire the game that he's playing, to be honest.
Benry, did you know that Jeff Probst was such a master of the race relations, being able to mediate the potentially hostile situation between what went on with Philip and Steve? Did you know that Jeff Probst was that good?
No, I mean, there was, you know, some stuff that went down in Tribals with Nyanka, and, you know, obviously with Shannon and the, you know, gay comment and whatnot. But
yeah.
You know, Jeff's amazing at his job. I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah, that was the closest. Last night was the closest, I think. The closest comparison is the Shannon, you're gay.
Yeah.
And, well, you're from New York City, and they have a lot of gays there.
Right.
That was probably the closest as we got to this.
Well, he said something about women, too. You know, degrading women, which they didn't air. But it was like three fireballs just right in a row. Jeff was just
sitting, wow.
You know, his eyes were so wide and just lit up, but, you know, handled it really well. And obviously, you know, quick rebuttal and it's good TV.
I think maybe you could have had Shannon and Philip on one tribe. I feel like that would be pretty good.
That wouldn't be a bad combo.
That's an explosive combo. That,
yeah, that's like nitroglycerin meet TNT.
Yes,
yeah.
Here we go.
No, that would be dangerous.
That would be pretty good. We talked a little bit.
I heard Shannon was doing a cycle of steroids before he got out there, so that explains a little bit.
Oh my god, what? That's allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
We don't want to make him mad.
Dude, we don't want to. He's a guy you don't want to piss off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of tweets.
Well, maybe he can talk about me on YouTube.
Okay. You may get your wish.
While he's on speakerphone.
Anyway, how did you guys turn out at the rally?
Well,
tell me that.
We did the reality rally. Now, Nicole, meanwhile,
uh-huh.
was back in the hotel room. She was sleeping.
I was by the pool.
She was by the pool.
Having a nice time.
I raced in the rally. I did not fare particularly well.
Mm-mm.
I think I came in.
I think I got 35th out of 42.
Okay, well, we beat you guys. We came in 25th or 26th. Okay. You know, much like The Amazing Race, it really came down to being able to catch a ride at the right time.
Yeah, maybe I should have just started walking.
It was horrible.
It was really far away. Like, places were like 3 or 4 miles away.
Oh, really?
And so while it was a lot of organization went into it, it's just, I don't know if they expected so many teams or it was just like we overwhelmed the transportation system.
Well, yeah, I don't know what your line of transit was, but I was on the brown line and it was brutal.
Well, I was on the red line.
All right, and, well, we were waiting for an hour, so at least we didn't cheat. You know, we finished, we hit all the objectives, and we didn't cheat, and we finished. So I was happy about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see people cheating on the reality rally?
Yeah, I think like the top three teams all cheated.
Oh, that's scandal.
I heard some craziness went on over there.
Oh my God.
There was some drama for sure. I think Marty's finger got slammed in a door by another reality team.
We started a Twitter war.
Okay, well, since you brought it up, yes.
And I'm not sure exactly what, but it was pretty nasty.
Survivor Marty, there was an incident that took place.
Right.
Where, you know, because there was so much fighting, you had to really fight people for the transportation. Uh-huh. And so Marty, who's a competitor.
Yes.
And his team, they were trying to get into one of a cab or something.
Uh-huh.
And there was another team that some people were on. And they were fighting over this cab. And I think the one team jumped in the cab and they slammed the door. And Marty's thumb got caught in the door.
Ooh.
And somebody who was on this team, a girl named at Real Brigetta on Twitter.
Yes.
She tweeted about this and she claimed that Marty was lying and that this never happened. And basically called him out and called him some other words.
A few others.
Yeah.
That aren't very nice words.
Yes.
That's what I heard.
And then Marty and her sort of were going back and forth. But Marty was posting pictures of his thumb on Facebook. And it doesn't look too good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were instigating it too.
Yeah, no,
you were totally instigating it. You were, I'm getting the cut sign.
He was pissed. He left the event early. He said he had to poke a needle into his thumbnail and drain all the blood.
Ooh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, Marty is like MacGyver. I mean, how does he know to do that?
I think there's already a Survivor MacGyver.
I don't know.
Maybe it's from living 28 days on an island.
Yeah, man. Oh, that was some pretty gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
No, Marty's a man. It was good to see him this weekend as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to finally meet Marty.
Yeah, it was good times. It was cut short because of the thumb incident. Oh, my God.
No, it was, but hey, Jeff Probst just hit 100,000 followers on Twitter.
Whoa, how about that?
Should we
see what
him?
The interactive living room can do? let me ask you, so we were talking about earlier about the people hiding things. Now, we talked a little bit about Nyanka burying the food. We also talked a little bit about Holly taking Dan's shoes and throwing them into the river. On modern day Survivor, how big of a part of the game is it? Like when you go off and say you have to go to the bathroom, how much are you like saying to somebody, hey, could you watch my stuff and make sure nobody throws my stuff in the fire or the ocean or hides it or buries it on me?
And burns it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess you would never see that coming, but I think that, you know, going back to Holly, you know, throwing Dan's shoes in the ocean and then telling him about it was possibly like the dumbest thing she could have done.
Yes.
So I think that really, you know, frustrated a lot of people. That was what, like the second episode. And, you know, I can't believe she told him, but I think it's pretty funny. And, you know, you can't put a tacky out there.
Yeah. You know, since we're talking about your season a little bit, we always like to play a round of the F, marry, kill game, or ding, marry, kill. As we call it on the show. Can we give you a quick one from your season?
Yeah, what is it?
Do you know the F, marry, kill game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we call it ding, marry, kill.
Uh-huh. It's a family podcast.
All right, ding, marry, kill. Brenda, Purple Kelly, and Alina. How about that one? Ding, Marry, Kill.
What's the first one?
That's Brenda, Purple Kelly, and Alina.
No, but what's the first one? Marry and Kill.
Oh, it's a Ding. Ding is the same as F.
Oh, let's do and in order, right?
In order, sure. And sort of the justification of why.
I mean, I'd say Bing, Brenda, Mary, okay. Alina, and Kill Purple Kelly.
Wow, that wasn't the way I thought you were going to do that.
You got that one right.
Why Kill Purple Kelly?
Dude, she was obnoxious. Just like, I don't know,
really?
Every morning she would just drive me nuts. I had my birthday out there, and she woke me up from like a deep sleep. It was the first time I'd ever fallen asleep, and told me that I was sleeping in her spot.
Oh.
That just really pissed me off. I guess I'm like a grizzly bear. You don't want to wake me.
Yeah. So was there a lot of Purple Kelly that we didn't see?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we saw her, talk a total of three times maybe all season.
Yeah.
I think she got a pretty bad edit, obviously, for quitting. So, yeah, there's a lot you guys didn't get to see. And she just sort of skated her way through, the whole game. She was complaining, which is what you guys didn't get to see. There was no complaining because she had no airtime. So she was constantly complaining about how, if we lose next time, guys, I'm miserable. Like, just put my name down and vote me out. But, I want to talk to him. I don't want to look like a quitter. Like, I just want to see Nicaragua. I had no idea what I was saying.
Mission failed on that one.
she goes, I just want to see Nicaragua. She knew, we all had a good idea of where Ponderosa was. And I think we had one of the better Ponderosas out of any season. And, she just knew where she was going back to, and she just wanted to go home since early on in the game. I don't think she ever enjoyed any of it.
Yeah. Do you think it was fair that her and Ayanka were on the jury?
You know, they did. I mean, Ayanka had an idol. They were important parts of the game, I guess. Maybe enough to have a decision in who wins $1 million, but it was also frustrating to see them on the jury as well. I think, I think a seven person jury would have been fine.
Yeah, it used to work just fine back in the day.
Back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days. But I guess they don't want somebody winning with three votes, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so, makes sense, but I don't know. It was frustrating for sure. But it could go both ways.
Yeah.
Okay. Benry, you have time for some questions from the listeners?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's see. We got some good ones. How about this? Okay. How about here's one. This was a very popular question. Now, I don't know if you can answer this. Maybe answers however you see fit. But a lot of people were asking about, and let me, Tim Laymaster says he heard a rumor that Benry dated Natalie Tenorelli. So he would like to know if that was the case. Is that true?
No, it's not true, but it's so funny because, it's obviously not the first time I've heard it. It's out there on the internet that
it's rampant.
Her and I are dating. But it's funny. I've actually only met her a couple times, and it was actually posted on the internet somewhere prior to me ever even meeting the girl. So she's we have a mutual friend actually, and she came in, to my restaurant and watched Survivor one Wednesday night. So
now, Benry, you wouldn't be serving her down there now.
Oh no, she's
underage.
That's why I said restaurant. I caught myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
restaurant.
Okay.
No, the parlor. She came in, so it was fun. We hung out, watched the episode, and she's interesting to watch on there. But it looks like she might you know, become a significant part of the season.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see. Sure, though, too. I'd love to, you know, maybe take her on a date when I'm single.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
So,
whoa, Nicole.
If you're listening.
Nicole, take it easy.
She's too young
for me.
Keep
it in your pants, Nicole.
She's too young for me.
You're going to eventually have to interview her, I'm sure. Yeah. So, you know, how about
Nicole's a cougar.
Throw in the good word, Rob.
I will. Zach Brooks wants to know, can you ask Benry to say David Healy's name? Could you say David Healy?
David Healy.
Okay. Oh my god, he just got a boner.
David Healy.
Oh my god, you're gonna right. It's too much.
Slow down. All right, here's a good one. And this is very appropriate for this week. Chris Devine wants to know, Benry cast a 420 vote for Fabio. He wants to know, has Benry ever smoked the ganja with Fabio? And could you tell the story of why he put the 420 on his Fabio vote? Now we know, of course, you would never do such a thing as to smoke the ganja, which is illegal,
yes,
with Fabio.
No. I'll clear that up. That vote was actually Nayanka's vote. The little volcano with the 420 above it.
Oh,
interesting.
So I'll spill the beans on that one. But yeah, numerous people have actually hit me up on Facebook saying, you know, I really like the 420 vote. And I was like, that's so weird that you just automatically assume what? The California boy is smoking weed? Come on now. No, that was Nayanka. She'll tell you straight up, too. I actually got a happy 420 text message from her yesterday. So,
really?
First
time
holiday.
Heard from Nayanka in a while.
Jessica Frey says, yay, Benry. He was so nice at Pechanga. If my question gets answered, I will make my profile picture with... I'll make my picture with Benry my profile picture.
Uh-huh.
How would he approach the situation that Zapatera is in, seeing that he was not in the dominant alliance last season? Okay, so this is a good comparison. The Zapatera tribe is down in the numbers, just like the situation that you were in with Fabio last season. What advice would you have for the Zapatera crew right now?
Man, what advice would I have for them? I mean, my advice to them would be scramble and, you know, don't sit around, don't be content. And you need to open your eyes and your ears and start talking and making moves to, you know, to save yourself.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think I got complacent and I put a lot of, you know, trust in a couple of people that late in the game, which was stupid. And I think, you know, looking back, I really think that I could have prevented getting voted out by, you know, really selling them on both Jane and Fabio that night. Didn't have the necklace, didn't have the immunity necklace. So, and they had both, you know, previously had worn the necklace 3 times. So,
right.
You know, and I had never won individual immunity, and you got Jane and Fabio sitting here. They've each won individual immunity at least twice, you know, and they don't have it right now. Let's get rid of one of them. I could have had a better pitch for sure.
Yeah. I feel like that you were another one of these people, and we said this about David Murphy last week, who was almost hurt by the fact that you were too competitive.
Yes.
And I don't remember the exact circumstance of your boot episode, but it was almost as though that you tried, because you were trying to make deals, they saw you as more of a threat than Fabio and decided to get rid of you. Is that accurate?
It was. And it was because I was talking and, you know, I was telling them, I told them that coming down to it, I wouldn't hesitate to vote Dan out, you know, because they thought I was super tight with Dan. And once I told them that, Chase told me, you know, after the show, he's like, dude, right when you told me you wouldn't hesitate to vote Dan out, and I knew how tight you were with Dan, he's like, I knew there was no way in hell that you wouldn't hesitate to vote me out.
Right.
So, you know, and which is probably true, because there was talk of voting Chase out.
Yeah.
So,
Let's see. Logan Saunders wants to know, does Benry have a tell in poker where he knocks things over when he has a really good hand? Is this talking about when you drop the marker? Is that what they're going for here?
Probably.
Yeah, what is the question again?
Do you have a tell in poker where when you have a really good hand, you knock things over?
Yeah, I must. That was actually a pretty funny episode.
I like that.
I had to rewatch that a couple of times. I said, too. I was like, I forget what I said. Yeah. I'm not the best player either. You should know. We were playing cards the other night.
Yeah. What happened at Pechanga to you the other night?
Man, I got robbed. Playing some stacks. Lost a couple $100. Went up to Silk. Spent a couple hundred more.
But yeah, that's no good.
Yeah.
We got beaten for sure. How'd you do at the table?
I did all right. I made...
He won't tell me how much he won.
No, I made like 200 over the weekend. Like, it wasn't like I didn't kill it,
yes,
but...
I did get a burrito out of this.
Yeah, you know what? I make the money at the tables, and then Nicole gives it all back at the bar. That's basically the deal.
Yes, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we ended up breaking even.
I got beat for sure, but I actually won some money last time I was there, so I'm about even with Pechanga.
Okay.
And I did get a free massage on Sunday.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
How about that?
That was nice.
So Lance Darnell wants to know, I want to know if anyone ever found some pot or mushrooms on Survivor and used them. Benry, do you know? We got a lot of 420 questions, I guess.
No.
Our listeners are stoners.
Fabio was trying to smoke anything and everything.
How is he lighting stuff?
He would get embers from the fire. And, different leaves or berries. He was our guinea pig for about everything. You know, day six, we stopped boiling water and we were just drinking it straight from the well. And, we were like, all right, he chugged a full canteen and we were like, all right, we all went to bed. We're like, we'll see what you're like in the morning. And everything was cool, so like I said, he was our little guinea pig, but he was definitely trying to smoke whatever he could.
It's funny. Marty Loveland wants to know, he wants to know about the post-Survivor life, basically the Survivor reality TV events that you've gone to and who you bump into. And do you ever get a lot of former reality stars that come into your bar now?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of people that actually come in that have been on previous seasons of Survivor. They come in and say what's up, and we heard you were here, and good job last season. But post Survivor's been awesome. I got to do the Singapore thing, the Diego Garcia trip. But my season just ended in December, so I think there's a lot more to come. I've only done, a couple events at Pechanga one and Singapore.
Yeah.
But they were both a blast.
Yeah.
It's good. So, it's good times.
Hopefully there's more to come, and hopefully, we can keep doing cool stuff for charities and traveling the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see. How about David Murphy? That we talked to him this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take on David this season?
I just talked to him right before I called you.
Yeah, how's he doing? I talked to him today too.
He's beat. He had a long day of interviews.
Yeah,
but he's good. He's super cool, and I thought going into it, I had met him before the season started, so I'd sort of got a first look at David, and then I watched his, I watched his audition tape, and I watched his, introduction interviews and whatnot. And I thought he was going to be, a little softy. But he surprised me this season. I thought he played a very good game. I think there's a lot left on the table with him, out of the game. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. He was very, very smart and very assertive. And I think he was socially strong. And, you know, obviously things didn't go his way, but I think that he had a lot of potential to go very far in the game.
Yeah. Oh. We were disappointed to see him go.
Well, yeah, I felt like he was one of the people that could actually shake things
it up.
Yeah, no, he was fun to watch, and you know, he comes in every Wednesday as well to the parlor.
There you go. Is that an attraction? Can you put some posters up?
Yeah, no, there's actually a lot of survivors that come in and hang out, and you know, I've met a lot of people that have been like, "Yo, Benny," and I'm like, "I have no idea who they are. I was on Survivor, you know, this season." But there's so many survivors in LA, I feel like.
Yeah, they're on every corner.
There's a lot of them here.
A lot.
All right, one more question. This is from Ben Bright, who wants to know, if Benry, Shannon, Fabio, Kelly B, and Alina had stuck together and voted out Brenda. So you go back in time, you guys don't vote out Shannon. Instead, you vote out Brenda. What sub-alliance of five would have likely been the final three?
Of that five?
Or would that have self-destructed before then?
Man, I would probably say... I mean, I don't know. I really would have liked to have gotten rid of Brenda. I mean, I was on board for that, and Chase, you know, last minute switched his vote.
Yeah.
Being the wishy-washy player that he was.
Did you not hit it off with Brenda?
Not really. You know, she told me, and I could tell. I got the vibe from her for sure. You know, she was like, "I knew you were going to be a threat after the first challenge," and she always kept her distance from me, you know, never talked to me. And if we talked, it was, you know, just very friendly stuff, non-game related. And, you know, she was definitely tough for me to approach, and I got that vibe from her right away.
Yeah, but I like that you still go there with the ding, marry, kill.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's you know, you can't let these feelings get in the way.
No.
When you're playing that game.
No, she is hot.
All right.
Brenda is really hot.
All right, there you have it. Benry, thanks so much for coming on with us. I know you were running around today, going to the Dodger game and all that stuff.
No problem. I have been running around. I'm still getting my feet back on the ground from this 20-hour flight. I felt like I hit a brick wall after I got back from Temecula.
Oh, okay. Well, great to have you on the podcast. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. You guys take care, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Benry.
All right.
Oh, you just hung up on him.
Well, we got it.
That wasn't nice.
It was okay. Yeah, Benry understands. He's got to run.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, we can't do a 10-hour podcast.
Yeah, no one would listen.
You know, I realized there was one other part of the show that we didn't talk about yet.
Okay.
All right, so we got to Tribal Council, and we were talking about that a little bit, and then right when Benry had called.
Benry rudely interrupted.
So we got to hear the story last night of why, you know, the thinking behind why Philip felt like being called crazy equaled being called the N-word.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about how back when he moved to upstate New York, my old stomping grounds.
Uh-huh.
why are you thinking like that's not true?
I did not.
So back in my old stomping grounds, like in Frank Clark's neck of the woods.
That's what I was just gonna say.
So apparently they went into the general store or whatever, and Mr. Phillip Senior was
Shepherd to you
was called yes Mr. Shepherd Senior
uh-huh.
was called boy
which
I guess is also offensive probably more offensive than crazy, I would imagine.
Yes, it's like John Rich said,
like, well, we've talked about so much this season the parallels between Philip and Gary Busey.
There are some crazy parallels, and not in a racist way.
Well, yeah, it's very, very interesting. So we have all this stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't watch Celebrity Apprentice,
you're probably lucky.
Yeah, there was the recent incident where John Rich, country music sensation,
or so we heard,
got into a dispute with Gary Busey, and Gary Busey allegedly said to him, "When the cameras were off, get out of my way, boy."
Uh huh.
And then he tried to say that he said "cowboy,"
uh-huh,
which is short for cowboys on the inner circle of
when
the Dallas Cowboys.
When you're in the inner circle,
so
like Busey.
We don't know if Philip's dad was actually called Cowboy,
or if the store owner was Gary Busey.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
Yes.
But it's just so amazing, the parallels that have come up between is Gary Busey crazy? Is Philip crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gary Busey never took offense to being called crazy.
I think he's used to it.
He's used to it.
Yes.
He doesn't feel as though someone's calling him the N-word.
Right.
I don't think that would bother Gary Busey.
I think he'd like it.
He would like it.
He'd probably come up with some, you know, acronym.
We
have no business.
Let's not go there.
We have no business doing that.
So, very, very good tribal council.
Yes.
Except it was like a very good episode of Survivor, but there was just no strategy whatsoever. It was basically like McDonald's or something that it tasted delicious to eat.
Right.
But I did not get the nutrients from it. It was hollow.
Uh-huh.
Much like the Easter bunny you're going to get.
I like the hollow Easter bunny.
Okay, good. Delicious milk chocolate on the outside,
uh-huh,
but nothing underneath.
Yes.
And that was a little bit like this episode of Survivor for me. Uh-huh. And actually the last couple episodes. We've had great antics from Philip, but as far as the gameplay, outside of Boston Rob just having everything on lockdown...
Yeah, but is this what the producers are going for? You know, the drama rather than the gameplay?
I think if they had their druthers,
uh-huh,
of if they could have 20 people who were amazing game players,
uh-huh,
or 20 people who were just totally acting crazy,
uh-huh,
I think they would rather have 20 people who were acting crazy.
I guess so. But as people who love the game, does this disappoint?
I think to a degree.
Yeah.
I think ideally you kind of want a balance where you want mostly people who are really good at playing the game and a couple people who are eclectic.
So basically like a Rob C., Matt Von Ertfelder.
I don't know if Matthew was, if we're actually going to use the word eccentric, I would say Matthew was eccentric. And not even the whole time. Like he
right.
had like a period of like
towards the
a
end.
Week or two in the middle of the game, from around the time that Shauna got voted out until around the time that Alex got voted out. So
uh-huh.
maybe like on the show, like 4 or 5 weeks where he was really kind of kooky.
Yeah.
But then he sort of like...
Leveled out.
Yeah, he kind of got his head back
yeah.
into the game. Matthew Von Ertfelder is not nearly... he is not a pimple on the fanny from an entertainment perspective.
No, definitely not.
That we're talking about a Philip or a Coach
yeah.
or Shambo or somebody who's just, you know, beyond kooky.
Do you think if they ever did an All-Stars, they would have Shambo come back?
I think Shambo would be on the short list of people
yes.
who would go back.
Okay. I'd like to make a short list of people we think. Maybe not right now, but
I think,
I'd like to see
how
it.
About you show me your list off the air.
Like I know how to make a list.
And we could talk about it sometime.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure you guys have plenty of people.
Yeah, definitely.
So, speaking of what you guys have to say.
Speaking of lists.
Yeah, you want to get into the 10?
Let's do the 10.
I wish we had like a 10 theme song. And I'll put that out there also. You guys were very good when it came to the Russell Hance Obama posters. We could use a jingle for the 10.
Yes.
Or we could use theme music for the show. Any of these things. I can't promise. Like, I know we had the Russell Hance song that was created. I don't know if we could use that as the theme song for the show.
Probably not.
That did not get rave reviews.
Although we loved it.
But if you guys want to make something, we'll play whatever you make us.
Right.
And if you guys like it,
we'll use it.
I can't just say, hey, whatever you make, we're going to use. Whatever you make, we'll play.
Right.
But we need to have we're not going to do something. This show's a democracy.
Is it?
It is a democracy.
Well, I think it's more of a dictatorship.
Okay, between me and you.
Yes.
But the viewers or the listeners, their votes count.
Okay.
Your vote.
My vote means
your vote doesn't count as much. Yeah. I'm the Boston Rob of this show.
Uh-huh.
You're like Natalie.
And, but I'm no zombie.
And then there's like the America's Choice.
Uh-huh.
And then they can vote on stuff also.
Yes.
So that's how this, that's kind of how this goes.
Yes. Okay, so let's get into the comments.
All right, here we go. So we did the last interview. We did our Parvcast.
Finally got you guys the Parvcast.
Finally did the Parvcast, and people said it would never happen, but it did. And for the most part, you guys, it was well received.
Yes, and David Healy had to change his pants.
Well, wait till he hears this one.
Oh, yeah.
Vegas Jack says, I love that interview with Parv. I haven't had so much fun since I got flamed on the Is Julie a Tranny thread on the Redemption Island message board.
Oh, that's horrible. Poor Julie.
Why, that he got flamed?
No, that Julie...
You don't even know what he said. Maybe he said something offensive.
No, that there's a thread, Is Julie a Tranny.
Well, I don't know if he made it.
I know, I'm not saying he did.
Vegas Jack. this is also part of number 10.
Okay.
For anybody, for scoring, those of you scoring at home. They're short. Johnny Stead 87 says, when Parvati picked up the phone at minute 8, I was as happy as Sugar when she found out she was going to be on Celebrity Rehab. Unlike Sugar, however, I am instead of getting loaded and smoking a rock of controlled substances, I chose to quietly celebrate by cheering from my treadmill at the gym. Great podcast, great guest, Light Tap.
Light Tap.
Light Tap. Now, I don't know if Sugar has ever claimed to be smoking rocks of controlled substances, in fairness to Sugar.
But we don't hang out with her, so we don't know.
We don't know. That's purely speculation on your part.
Yeah, well...
I'm not so bold as to make that claim. Or to substantiate it.
Well, someone can if they chose
Nobody's ever come forward with evidence that Sugar is smoking controlled substances.
At least on this podcast.
At least on this podcast. And nobody has a picture of it, if that's the case.
But I'm sure if it was true, there is a picture.
That's possible. And she has not tweeted anything of that sort.
Right.
All right, here's number 9. It starts off really good.
Okay.
So number 9, Kais says, hi, Rob and Nicole. I love your podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
I really enjoyed Parvati as a guest. On the show, I tend to find her very grating and irritating. However, I absolutely loved her on the podcast. And now I know, and now I really understand how many people fall for her charm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yes.
So far, so good with the comments.
Yes, she was... person was parvcasted.
We're killing it.
Yeah.
All right, now we get to number 8.
Oh, bastard.
Lines in a Conversation says, okay, I ain't gonna suck kneecaps here.
Okay.
Never good when the term sucking kneecaps mm-hmm. comes into play.
Yes.
Parvati was about as interesting as I expected her to be, and that's not very. She got in a few good insights here and there and did seem to enjoy herself while on the podcast, but she wasn't altogether a fascinating podcast subject.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd put her smack dab in the middle at 5.5. Yes, the math is correct because I didn't start it from 0. to your credit, though, the last hour was very entertaining. I will give you one criticism, though. Never, ever entertain the idea of another Mertz cast. He is horrendous. No Dalton Ross either. Gordon Holmes, Mario Lanza, absolutely. But Mertz fan, or whatever his name was... we should not lump all four together. Not all reality writers are created equal.
Okay.
Okay.
Opinions
so
matter.
He said 5.5.
Okay.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Number 7, Brian says, I've been a big fan of the show since Survivor Samoa, and this is going to be my first complaint.
Uh-oh.
I haven't given Shane's sucking kneecaps comment any credibility until I listened to this episode. Both of you were sucking up to Parvati the way I imagine Mertz acts with Boston Rob. I still love and will continue to listen, but it's less enjoyable if you're sucking up to the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Were we overly suck-uppy to Parvati?
You know, like, I'm not Nancy Grace. You're not Anderson Cooper. What are we supposed to do? The hard-hitting questions?
I don't know. I just think when we have arguably the best Survivor player of all time on the show...
Uh-huh.
I don't think we should have a lot of criticisms.
Yeah, I like Parvati.
In fairness. Especially when she has $1 million, she's not sitting around podcasting.
And you know what? That's sushi dinner she's paying for.
She's out making making waves in the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting here with five laptops open,
mm-hmm.
talking about Survivor and Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
Who am I in a position to be knocking her down a peg?
Taboo buzzer.
How about that?
Yeah.
Stealth R Us says, hey, Rob and Nicole, loved hearing from Parvati. Thanks so much for a great show. But there's two things I want to give my two cents on.
Uh-huh.
It irritated me a little bit that you have Sandra on the show and praise her gameplay. And then as soon as Parvati starts saying that she's not a good player, you don't defend Sandra at all. And Nicole says that's not fair. Seemed a little hypocritical, and as a sassy Sandra supporter, I didn't appreciate you guys not defending her at all.
I'm glad that we have this comment.
Let's take this in two parts.
Okay. So, I'm very happy that Sandra won. But you know what? It's no secret that I was a Parvati fan from the beginning. And when I said that's not fair, it was in response to Parvati's comment that, that the votes were based on personal circumstances. I think votes should be placed on the game. I mean, is that so horrible?
I don't think it's horrible. I don't know why we can't be a Parvati fan and a Sandra fan.
Right.
We love Sandra.
I got my sassy grass the other day. And she even came and slipped it under the hotel door.
Yeah. We hung out with Sandra last week and it was upsetting because Sandra was a little sick.
Yeah.
And so she could not be as sassy as normal.
Yes.
We love Sandra.
Yes, and that is no secret.
I think her and Parvati get along. That you know, it's not a one. I don't think it's a one or the other issue with them.
Right.
We're good friends with Johnny Fairplay.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't get along with Sandra.
Right.
I really feel like I get along with. You put the survivor out there.
Uh-huh.
Put me at me and said survivor are at a table.
Uh-huh.
I think that I could have a pleasant conversation with every survivor on the book.
And I'll just do shots with them.
You could do shots. But I think that just because we're going to let anybody who comes on this show express their opinion. So if Parvati feels like she is better than Sandra or she should have won, I don't know if it's my place to say, whoa, 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 I'm going to stop you right there. No way. Sandra's our friend. She should have won.
Right.
Especially in this particular instance, if I was on that season
uh-huh.
and I had a vote, I think I would have cast a vote for Parvati.
Uh-huh.
And I've said that all along.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I don't think Sandra should have won.
And we've never, ever said that.
And I feel like Sandra, what's special about Sandra, it's like, I'm going to talk about sports here for a moment,
okay.
So you may not. You know, it's almost like if there's a baseball player that does not look like they should be a good baseball player.
Right.
Who has a amazing on-base percentage, then you cannot say that this baseball player is not a good baseball player if they never get voted out and they always win.
Right.
And Sandra's on-base percentage is through the roof. Now, she doesn't look like if she was a baseball player, she's not looking like A-Rod. She's not putting up 70 home runs in a season.
She's got a different game.
Right. But it does not mean it's not an effective game.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's something to that game. And
but
I think
it obviously works.
From her personality standpoint, that she's great. She gives funny lines.
Mm-hmm.
She's very friendly.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't act like she's too good, like some people
right.
have been known to do in uh-huh. the past.
Yeah.
And Sandra's awesome.
Absolutely.
So, Sandra fans, there is no slight meant to Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
Parvati fans, don't get offended because we're talking good about Sandra.
Right. And we're not going to, you know, tell somebody they're wrong, that they're not good players.
And we're not going to tell people off if they have an opinion.
Yes.
We are just a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask people questions. We want to hear their answers. And
if we don't like them, we'll talk about it later when they're not listening.
I think it's pretty easy to tell who we particularly like and who we particularly don't like on this show.
Yes.
And I think if you're coming away from this show thinking that we don't like Sandra for any reason, then that's not the case.
You've been drinking.
All right, part two of this. Please don't listen to the commenter about not having Survivor players over media guests. While media guests are decent, Survivor players are way more fun. Sorry about the complaint above. It really irritated me. Still love the show. And
right.
Feel free to complain.
It's fine.
Everybody else does. and it doesn't really bother us.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. This is from Victoria Stefan Walker. Nicole, I had emailed you these comments before the show. Did you have them? Did you want to...
This one's too long.
Okay. Well, they're all a little long.
Okay. I'll just listen.
Okay. Victoria Stefan Walker says, I'm playing Akinator on my droid.
What's Akinator?
It's like 20 questions in parentheses. Okay. And I'm trying to stump him with you as my character. His current question is, so I guess this is something like where you pick something in your head and it asks you questions, yes or no.
Okay, yeah.
And so it's asking you the 20 questions. You think of something in your head.
Oh, that's interesting.
So his current question is your character said to be a hot guy?
Uh-huh.
My choices are yes, don't know, no, probably, and probably not.
Uh-huh.
So he's thinking of me.
She's thinking, okay.
Oh, big, no, sorry, Victoria. Victoria's thinking of me.
Uh-huh.
How about that, Nicole?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Grant. She's just kidding.
Nicole, so help me God. 20 questions.
Uh-huh.
And so the thing is asking her, is your character a hot guy?
Uh-huh.
Choices are yes, don't know, no, probably, probably not.
Uh-huh.
I said yes, parentheses, you're welcome. And then it asked me if my character wore ties. I said no, and the guess was Colby Donaldson. Yep. Maybe want to try that again with probably, or maybe again with probably not.
Oh, stop it.
Just saying.
You're a stud.
Just saying. I don't give away free yoga lessons.
Yes, well.
Maybe I'm going to give away some free podcast lessons.
Oh, because there's a line out the door for that.
And maybe you should sign up.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
I'll give you a free podcast lesson.
Oh, you're saying I suck?
I'm just saying, maybe that's what I'm going to offer my services out to people.
Good, I'm going to offer my services.
All right, come on. Why do you always have to take it to some...
Nursing! I'm a nurse!
Great. All right, how about...
I'll start IVs.
Number four, Kaz. I don't understand your whole, you can't be a bossy, dominant player and win a Final Three argument. By my count, we've had exactly one player that fits that description and makes the Final Three. Russell. So that's more of an outlier than a trend. Boston Rob would also fit, but he hasn't lost yet, and he's only being a D in his confessionals.
It's true.
Is he overly controlling of his allies? Of course. But his allies all want to be controlled since they're passive, clueless players except Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they all look up to him and treat him like a celebrity, so I don't think they'll be as bitter as the crybabies from All Stars. If Boston Rob loses in the finals, it won't be because he backstabbed too many peoples or told them not to eat a fish. It'll be because people don't want to give him the win to a fourth-timer who already has $1 million. I think he's ultimately going to get clipped at Final Five when people finally wake up and say, what the hell are we doing letting a Hall of Famer get to the end? However, if he can somehow get to the finals, I think he wins in a landslide.
Yes.
Well, we'll agree to disagree. I think if he gets to the finals, I think that Zapatera is going, and possibly not David Murphy, but I think Zapatera is going to resent Boston Rob as saying, you know what, he had us shut out of the game, we didn't even get to play. Is the four-time thing going to be a part of it? Absolutely. But I think that he's going to have resent from over there, and then the people on his tribe, the people who aren't in the Final Three, are going to say, they're all buying, like the two girls are thinking, hey, we're going to be in the Final Three with Rob. And Grant's thinking he's going to be in the Final Three with Rob. And Phillip's thinking he's going to be in the Final Three with Rob. So if Boston Rob can't be in the Final Three with all those people, they're going to resent him. And he only needs to pick, whoever else is only needing to pick up, like, one or two other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's six or seven votes voting against Rob in that nine, then they're 10 to all land on one other person. There's going to be one person who gets zero votes in the Final Three, because it always happens. And all those votes are going to find the one person who's not Boston Rob in the Final Three.
Right.
I don't think he wins by a landslide.
Oh, take a deep breath.
And I don't think he's getting the edit of somebody who's going to win in a landslide.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring this question up, because we had discussed this at the reality rally with Marty. And Marty absolutely agrees with Kaz.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Well, here's the good thing about this. We're going to know who's right
find out,
in a couple of weeks. A month from now. We'll be sitting here and I'll be saying, well, I'll never say I'm wrong.
But we all will.
No. You guys, this is being recorded.
Uh-huh.
You guys can throw it in my face if I'm wrong.
Okay.
And if I'm right, you'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, God.
Go back and listen to my predictions from before the season.
Yes. It hasn't changed.
I think I've been pretty. If you went
back,
you've
been pretty on point. You've been pretty on point.
I've been pretty on point. We had
no one likes a bragger, though.
I'm just saying, to this point, I have no way of knowing if Philip was that. Like, we had no way of knowing Philip was going to be so crazy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But if you went back and looked at our predictions, I mean, I don't remember what we said for everybody, but I feel like we were pretty on point. And I think I even said at the time, I thought Boston Rob was going to be final three, but I don't think he's going to win.
Okay. No one likes bragger.
I'm just saying, and I felt like, I felt good about it. I said, I think that the winner will be one of the girls that comes from Boston Rob's tribe. Yeah. I thought Boston Rob's tribe would be dominant. And it didn't exactly go the way I thought at first. I thought Boston Rob would just be dominant the whole way through.
Right.
I didn't see Zach. And I thought Russell would be out from the beginning.
Uh-huh. Well, that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold that one.
Number three, Lurker says, looks like Parvati has be DiLorenzo'd.
Oh, my goodness.
And he posts a tweet that says, at Parvati Shallow says, my fake Facebook had my real one shut down. How rude.
How does that even happen?
So Parvati made a Facebook, and Parvati's fake Facebook reported her real Facebook as being the fake Facebook for Parvati.
That's crazy. And not in a racist way.
Yeah, that's why Parvati needed to get verified, just like Danielle DiLorenzo was trying to get verified.
Uh-huh.
And then just like DanielleDiLorenzo.com came along, used her picture to sell full-fat salads. I don't know if Parvati's Facebook might have been selling full-fat salads.
Uh-huh. Or probably half-fat. They're into wellness.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. This is from the guy.
Uh-huh.
Who, right, and this is a tie for number two.
Okay.
They're both along about the Mertz cast.
Uh-huh.
Number two says, I thought this was funny. I don't agree with the statement, but I'll read it because it was funny. Guy says, no one except Mertz wants him on instead of a Survivor. His shtick is old, and he's incredibly annoying. And giving him a podcast for this season, if I want to hear some pathetic loser fantasizing about Mariano's word for male genitalia.
Mm-hmm. Rooster.
I'd read Jeff Probst's blog. All right. Well, that was, I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
But it was.
Mertz is a nice guy.
It was a good joke.
Yeah.
And Pootie says, no to a Mertz cast. I'd rather have Corinne stab me in the face. Speaking of, why can't you have a Corinne/Randy cast? Well,
that's going to be difficult.
Corinne doesn't watch Survivor and Randy doesn't want to come on the podcast.
Randy doesn't like us anymore.
He likes us, but he doesn't want to talk about Survivor.
Randy, did we break up? What happened?
We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I do have an update on the Corinne front.
Oh, okay.
I got an email recently from Corinne.
Uh-huh.
She only recently got my last email about, she doesn't check her Facebook messages often.
Uh-huh.
And she only recently got her email that I wanted to get her for the Survivor Nicaragua preview.
Uh-huh.
So she said she's willing to do it.
Oh, good.
For the next season.
Okay.
But I guess I just have to email her probably like next week. And then she'll get it.
We'll set up a date.
She'll get it in August.
Uh-huh.
And then we can set
it
up.
And it'll be good, yeah.
And then we'll be good.
Okay.
So
get on it.
Look on the Survivor 23 preview, God willing. If the world doesn't end in May, as like it's supposed to. I saw a billboard.
But, oh, in Hollywood.
In Hollywood. Then we'll talk to Corinne.
Okay.
So we'll see about that. Now, here's number one.
Oh, dear.
And buckle up. This is a little bit long. Nicole, do we have time?
We have time.
Let me check with the producer. Do we have time for this?
Yeah, they're giving us the nod.
Okay, we have time. Do we need to break? No, we're good.
Yeah.
All right. So, number one.
Uh-oh.
Started off innocently enough and became something big. You thought Rob versus Russell was big. Number one started off. We talked about it on the podcast last week. We were talking with Parvati and Tim Lamaster on Twitter. He had wrote a comment to Parvati. Parvati, so glad you're tweeting or so glad you're writing a blog. At least somebody who knows how to play the game is writing a blog this season and included at Rob Sisternino and at Stephen Fishback.
Uh-huh.
And I said that at Stephen Fishback was insulted about this.
Uh-huh.
He said he actually wasn't that insulted about it. But Frank Clark, here he comes. He had been busy with doing taxes, but he got done.
Taxes are done.
Taxes are done. And he said, LOL, ha ha ha, oh my gosh. The fact that Steven was insulted by that tweet you spoke of speaks directly to my problem with him. How insecure can a guy be? I mean, seriously, how can he bring himself to actually give an F about what frigging strangers think about him? How emasculating. I could care less what people who actually know me think of me, let alone strangers. What a joke that dude is. I actually feel bad for that guy.
Oh.
Now, to which Steven, to his credit, attacked or head-on confronted Frank Clark to say, Rob may have overstated the case a little bit. I was only insulted that the tweet wasn't funny, just like your material.
Oh, ding.
Oh. So now this started a real war of words that has been going on for the last 2 days between Frank Clark and Steven. And this is, and do you want more from Frank Clark versus Steven? Do you want?
Give us a little bit more.
Go on a little bit more. Okay. So Frank Clark says, people are asking, is this really Steven? If it's so, it's awesome. Because Steven is good enough to come and comment on the message board. Very few of the survivors have done that in the past that we've talked to.
Right.
We've probably talked to, what, 30, 40 different survivors on this
412.
So Steven says, yes, it's really him. And so Frank Clark says, yes, it's really Steven. Sadly, the guy blocks me on Facebook for being of the opinion, God forbid, that he's one of the more forgettable guests on Rob Has a Podcast, and he wants to verbally spar. Given his comment, something tells me Steven was the kid on the playground that was either picked on or excluded in some fashion and went and told the teacher. So Frank Clark is really going after Steven. Steven is really saying that he just doesn't want to be bothered with Frank Clark. I feel like I'm caught in the middle here.
I feel like we're feeding into this now by reading this.
I'm going to be like Jeff Probst.
Okay.
I'm going to be like Jeff Probst.
Ooh, can you walk in his shoes?
I'm going to walk in his shoes. All right, Frank Clark. So who's Philip in this and who's Steve in this? Is Steven Steve?
I think you would have to make it that way.
I feel like, so I think Steven is Steve and Philip might be Frank, and Frank Clark might be Philip. He's from upstate New York.
Yes.
Frank Clark is from upstate New York.
Frank Clark is a big black man.
Yeah. So was there a name here? Well, but in this case, Steven doesn't like being called sensitive.
Uh-huh.
And the or boring, I think, is more to the point.
What man wants to be called sensitive?
And now here's the thing. I don't understand why Frank Clark has this opinion. I love Steven. I think Steven is one of the best guests on this show. I think he brings something to the table that very few of the other survivors bring to the table.
Uh-huh.
We love having Steven on. I would have Steven
on. And he's our friend.
On just about every other podcast if I had my way.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, Frank Clark, who loves just about every other survivor, or many of the other survivors, I don't think he likes Dave Ball either. He loves Fair Play. Who else does he like? He likes everybody. Just about everybody. Most of the women.
Just about. Yeah. Well, most of the women.
Goes without saying.
Yeah.
He loved Danielle DiLorenzo.
Not the person, just the double D's.
The podcast with Danielle DiLorenzo.
Because he was picturing the double D's in his mind.
And I don't know. I wonder, is there an actual person that Frank Clark knows that Steven reminds him of? Because it seems odd that he would have so much animosity towards Steven. And I guess to his point, he says he doesn't have animosity. He just thinks Steven is boring. But I don't think Steven is boring.
I think Steven's really funny.
Steven's very funny. And Steven doesn't want Frank. He says that Frank Clark wrote yawn on his Facebook wall and he didn't like that. So how can we mediate this?
Well, so we have to walk a mile in someone's shoes.
Because I think that Frank, I don't know why Frank Clark and Steven couldn't be friends. Now, I understand Steven's point of view also, that he doesn't want some guy on his Facebook wall who's always talking about how he's boring and writes yawn on his status updates.
Yes.
I think that would get under my skin.
Uh-huh.
So how do we, I just think that if Frank Clark could give Steven a chance, I feel like we could work this out. I don't think Steven's the type of guy to hold a grudge.
Uh-huh. And I think there's truth into both of their experiences.
Maybe if there's, yes. Maybe is there one thing? Maybe if...
Can they come together for the love of the podcast?
Could Frank Clark see the world through Steven's eyes someday? Is there some way to get Steven or to get Frank Clark to see the world as Steven sees it? And then he wouldn't think Steven was a boring guest?
I don't know.
Frank Clark wants to settle this with an argue cast. And he wants to have a debate between him and Steven on the podcast.
I don't think Steven's going to be down.
I don't think Steven's going to be down. I don't think I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I don't think we want that. If that's what you guys want, I'll push for it, but I don't think that's what any of us want.
Yeah.
I think Frank Clark wants that. But Frank Clark's a good guy too, Steven. I think that Frank Clark is getting a bad rap out of this.
Mm-hmm.
That I think Frank, people think Frank Clark is just like a lunatic who's a troll on the internet and starting fights between people. And it's really just with Steven. Frank Clark is he's a dad. He's a good guy. Like I get emails from Frank Clark.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, and he's very friendly. He's always saying nice things to me and Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's that Frank Clark is a lunatic.
No, he's no Philip.
And I don't think Steven is boring.
No.
So I don't know how we went so far awry here. I want to... Maybe Jeff Probst needs to get involved.
Or maybe you guys just need to cut the shit. All right?
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Well, maybe I'll... If this doesn't work out, if this keeps going on, I'm going to ask at Jeff Probst if maybe he could settle this with what? Big Frankie 75 and Stephen Fishback?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get this all mediated.
Yes.
And we can all move on with our podcasting lives.
That would be nice.
And you can go ahead. If you are that interested in reading the whole thing, there's a few essays back and forth between Frank and Steven. And somebody's saying that maybe the next season of Survivor should be Fans versus Favorites Part 2. Steven versus Frank Clark. This time it's personal. Maybe where Frank is leading the fans team and Steven leads the favorites team.
Yeah.
That could be a way to go.
Marty L., he's a funny guy.
Pretty good stuff. So we'll see. I feel like I don't like this. I don't like the Frank Clark, Stephen Fishback. Like Frank versus Fish, I want to see it come to an end.
Yes. Cut the shit.
Okay. So we've done it. Hopefully we've done our part to mediate it.
Yes.
And hopefully we can get this all straightened out.
Yes.
All right.
Let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Now I could really use a drink.
I quit.
You quit?
I quit drinking.
You quit what, after your blackout in Pechanga?
Yes.
All right, Nicole. So that feels like a Survivor podcast. I think we're going to do a podcast. I don't know if you're... Are you going to be around this weekend to do a podcast?
For what?
To talk to Johnny Fairplay about the Saddle Ranch and Tough Enough?
I will not.
Okay.
I will not be around.
All right. So maybe I'll get together with Johnny Fairplay over the weekend and just do a quick catch up with him.
Okay.
And hear what he had to say about Tough Enough and the Saddle Ranch, where back in the day... Back when I first came to L.A., we used to hang out there all the time. That's where all the reality stars were.
It used to be the place to be.
Mm-hmm. Now it's the place where they make reality stars.
Yeah.
They said, the reality stars used to come to us. We're just going to make them here.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah. Since I'm not going to be on that, I'm just going to say I thought that it was a real snoozer.
Oh, well, that's no good. I heard the second episode is supposed to be very good.
In comparison to the first,
I have an inside source.
Okay.
They said the second episode is supposed to be very good.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that's that. Thanks to everybody who has been tweeting, live tweeting. You can read all the live tweets on the sidebar of the show. And thanks for everybody subscribed to iTunes. And we got nothing else for you, right?
Nothing for you.
All right, take care, everybody.
Peace out, kids.
Bye.